This is a season of hope. We see it on our bulletin covers. We hear it in our liturgy. We even hear it expressed across the airwaves and in our media that people hope. The retailers of America hope for a good retail holiday. Many of our kids are hoping for a Wii. Good luck, they did not make enough. Some of us are hoping that we will not overrun our credit cards and go so far into debt that we won't know what to do. There are lots of things we hope. Christmas time and the time before Christmas is often a season of hope. But for a hope that is appropriate for us, for a hope that is Christian, we need to be sure that what is offered and what we hope for is the kind of thing that people in Jesus' day would hope for and people in our day would hope for. And so we have to measure our hopes and our dreams against the reality that in Christ, in this remarkable, singular, wonderful event called the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, something is happening here that must not only apply to us, but must also apply to those of Jesus' day, to those who do not have our privilege, to those who do not have the benefit of our technology or our education or our security or our much lauded, favored status as Americans. The questions of this day must come out of a more universal application than we normally apply at Christmas. It is appropriate for us to prepare for the holidays. You can't do all the cooking on Christmas Eve. And men, it is always better to think a little bit ahead and shop before the 24th. And I don't know about you, but the last time that I want to be wrapping presents is on Christmas morning. And believe me, I don't want to be decorating the day after Christmas either. There are some things we do to get ready for Christmas in our lives, and that's what we're going to do, and there's not much that's going to change it. But I would suggest to you that if you want to have a truly blessed Christmas that draws out of this wondrous event the things that God wants you to enjoy, wants to give you, that you need to ask some questions that are far more difficult and far more out of the line of the mainstream. Questions like perhaps this: what do you need to be forgiven? Or maybe this: what deep within you needs to be healed? What gashing wound of emotional, mental scarring do you bear that needs the touch of God and not the touch of another technological cure? Or more positively, what unmet, untapped aspiration or desire do you have within you that is lying latent and forgotten, that God is seeking to draw out of you and to kindle into a raging fire of love? Or maybe this question: when you are confronted with silence. And there's no longer the incessant demand of your employer saying, do this, do that. And there's no children saying, give me, or I wanna, or can you? And your own conscience has finally let you rest and said, you have done enough. Enough of this beating up on you. When all else is silent, what do you hear? What voices speak to you? When you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't go back to sleep, what do you think about? One wonders as I meet new people and old friends, and I hear them talk about the things that they don't like about themselves, I find myself wondering what wonderful goodness might be packed away in some hidden corner that could be brought out and in God's hands be a blessing to both God and to the world. What is God calling you to be? What is God calling you to do? What effort is God calling you to make? How is God calling you to change in your life? I don't know about you, but it is always interesting to hear people talk about their closets, their attics, their basements, their garages, their storage sheds, and if you have them, the barn. Where do you put stuff that you don't know what else to do with, but just can't bear to throw away? Where do you put it? One of those places. One of those places in your life has some stuff in it that you probably need to look at. My friend Brooke wrote a wonderful pastor from the Pastor's Heart column for his newsletter, in which he likes to go to the barn. Now, he was raised on Eastern Shore, and so he knows something about barns. And if you've ever been on the Eastern Shore during the middle of winter, you know that it can be very cold, bone-chilling cold. And that if you go out into the barn, lots of times the barn is full of all sorts of things that are, well, broken, not used often, as well as animals that, well, living with them in the house just isn't the acceptable thing to do. And out in that cold silence, with warm smells coming from the barn, he finds that he is wondering what kind of hurts, what kind of transgressions, what kind of godly aspirations has he put out into the barn, or that we have put into the closet, or into the attic, or the shed, or the basement. The reason why we need Advent and the reason why we need Lent is because no matter how much we would like to ignore those tender parts of our life, those sensitive parts of our life, we cannot be at peace with God. We cannot understand in any meaningful way both the miracle of Christmas or the wonder and the miracle of the resurrection if we don't deal with the stuff in our closets. We need to look around in those places. We need to take things out and see what they look like now that we are a year older and a year wiser. We need to be aware of what makes us fully and truly human. And I've got to tell you, we need to do it during Advent and Lent so that we can be freed to put those things back in storage as we need to during the rest of our life, during the rest of the year. God does not expect us to clean out our closets and reorganize them. That's what closets are for. In some ways, they're supposed to tumble out on you when you open the door. And that's what barns are for. They're supposed to smell like that. They're supposed to be dirty. They're supposed to be earthy. And that's what attics, basements, and garages, and sheds prepare for all the trappings of Christmas, whether it be lights, trees, wrapping presents, buying presents, parties, making food, eating food, all the things we love, that we also take the time to let the season be what it was meant to be. A time to understand, a time to be honest, a time to look in some of the dark corners of our life and be surprised that some of the things that we feel so guilty of are really things that God has thrown out a long time ago. And some of the things that hurt us so deeply are finally beginning to heal. And to find out that some of the things that God has called us to do and be, that we were afraid to do, that we were afraid to be, we're ready to do now. This adventure that God calls us to, this journey which begins in the life of Christ, is not one that will always leave your darkest hidden corners cleaned up right away. But this journey will certainly be one in which the things that are nearest and dearest to you, both good and bad, can be dealt with honestly. Advent might reasonably be associated with discovering new ways in which God calls us to grow, places where God is starting a new thing like God starts a new life in Christ in the womb of Mary. Lent, on the other hand, may be a time where in the toughness of life and in the way our world works, we discover that we have fallen once again into some transgression, some bad habit, some way of acting that's not appropriate. In either case, the remedy is clear and strong for us to be prepared for the fact that God comes to us of God's own love to dwell with us as we are cannot be comprehended unless we understand what we are, who we are. And the same is true of Lent. That if we are to appreciate what has happened on that cross and what has happened from that empty tomb, we must also then be aware of what we are. And so I invite you to make your journey, your commitment to a holy Advent, not a time just for the preparation of the trappings of Christmas, but a time in which you open your heart so that your heart and your life once more may cradle the very presence of God's self in all of its wonder and new life. In the face of a heart filled with Christ's love, our transgressions, our wounds, and our deepest and most wonderful aspirations cease to be those things which hinder us from joy and happiness, and they can become the ways in which we discover God loves us in all the fullness that we could ask for. Forgiven, healed, restored, and given new life. When we celebrate Christmas, when we celebrate Easter, and when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.